Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Whether you're in person or tuning in online, we appreciate your time and engagement. Our first item is a conflict of interest. As part of our board's code of conduct, I'll pause to ask trustees to share any new relationships or circumstances that could be present or appear to present a conflict.
None.
Trustee Gardner? Trustee Kimberlin?
None.
None.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to board CEO comments. I have something here. But while I'm waiting, does anyone have any comments to share? I can do it. I can go now. So I had the opportunity to attend Fall Convocation on August 11th, and it was a wonderful way to begin the new academic year. It was especially meaningful to see our faculty and our staff together again and to feel the energy and enthusiasm they bring to their work. On behalf of the board, I want to thank the president, Dr. Cheek, and the entire community college for all they do to support our students and one another. We wish everyone a successful and rewarding new year. Anyone else?
I was just going to say something similar about convocation. I enjoyed being there, and I thought the presentation was excellent. I really enjoyed it, and I congratulate the staff and the administration on the improvements in retention. I thought that was very positive. So, thank you.
Next, we'll move to a public comment. It appears that no one has signed up. And so we'll move on to the agenda. Okay, so next we'll move on to item six, the required approvals agenda.
Consent.
I'm sorry? Oh, consent agenda, sorry.
We've traditionally voted on minutes one at a time. Can we vote on them all together?
Yeah, so let me finish here. So next is item five, the consent agenda. Enclosures one through four of your packet. The consent agenda includes routine items that are approved together, unless a trustee would like to pull something out for a separate discussion. Is a request to remove an item? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved. Next is item six, the required approvals agenda. You'll find these in enclosure 5 through 11 of your meeting packet. Items on this agenda have been reviewed by the administration and are presented as consistent with board policy. Our discussion at this stage should focus on whether an item aligns with board policy. Is there a question about policy compliance? If there's a problem, if there a question about policy compliance, this is the time to raise it. Is there a request to remove an item for policy compliance review? If none, may I have a motion to approve the required approvals agenda as presented?
Make a motion to approve the required agenda.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? The required approvals agenda is approved. Now we're move on. We will now move to information and discussion items. Please refer to enclosure 12. Our July retreat focused on several priorities for the coming year, including our ends, ownership linkage, policy review, board education, and creating more space for strategic and future-focused discussions. The memo in your package summarizes, excuse me, the resulting action plan, and several of those items appear later on tonight's agenda. Are there any reflections, questions, or clarifications regarding the retreat report or the action plan? There is something that I like to say, and that has to do with the date for the retreat, the November date for the retreat has, we're not going to be able to have it in November. So we're going to have to come up with another date in which the to have this November retreat. And also we need to get together to talk about discussion items at the retreat. Okay.
Trustee Gardner.
Yes, Trustee Gardner.
I thought the retreat was well done. I thought Rose did a good job of guiding us through a lot of information, particularly with updating the ends and some things we're going to talk about tonight. I had a question, but I think I just answered it. I thought EL update EL3 and GP7 was not on her summary
I
list.
can't hear you with your.
I thought EL3 and GP7 were not on this list, but they are drafts to be reviewed in September, so I missed that. So I was just going to ask where that was, and it's there.
Now, I'll just share also, in general, I thought the retreat went well. We covered a lot of territory, and the consultant helped us kind of keep pace, and where we were able to cover a lot of territory.
Anyone else? Okay, next we'll move to policy review. The first item is 7.B.1, revisions of ends, excuse me, E1 ends. You'll find the proposed revisions in enclosure 13.
Fine.
There's a markup and a clean version. At our retreat, Rose Mercer from the governance coach guided us through a review of at the ends policy and recommended several refinements to the more closely align with the policy with policy governance principles. I think you had that in your packet. And I've made several one change. That I'd like to propose, and that's that it was a it was a it was agreed that the original wording would stay in place except for which now includes the financial clause 2.1.
2.1.
Yeah, because originally it was removed, and I made a suggestion that. That a financial clause be reinstated at 2.1.
2.1.
It's 2.1.
Hey, you passed out something at this meeting, and I can't really find it, but that's on the top of this
Yes,
handout,
that's right.
correct?
Proposed changes to E1.
Earners have access to financial support. I had written down that we agreed to add a comment about affordability. So, I mean, that is a way to say that.
Right, yeah, because right now 2.1, so educational opportunities are financially accessible for those who might not otherwise have them. Okay. All right.
Okay, so otherwise, this statement as presented to us is what we discussed and went through with Rose, at our retreat.
Say it again.
So what we have in front of us is what we discussed with Rose and
That's
the
right.
changes that she proposed and
And
that
this is
we
the only
made plus
change.
that three
That's right.
point or 2.1.
And that's the
Okay.
only change that I want to present. If any other trustee has any other change to the E1 ends. Please speak up.
It's fine.
Okay.
Right. So that'll come back next month for a vote.
That's right. If you agree to that, yes, it'll come back for a vote. But if someone has another change, then it'll come back. The change will be added, and then we'll have to vote on it in October meeting.
Okay, I did find this if you want to back.
The next policy item is 7.B.2, draft GP14 board committee principles, enclosure 14 in your packet. Based on the board's discussion and direction at the July retreat, Rose Mercer drafted this policy to establish the principles that would apply whenever the board creates a committee or other group to support its work. The draft is intended to preserve the authority of the full board and the board's delegation to the president. Are there any revisions or clarification the board would like to consider?
I ask a question here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So on the handout we got before the meeting, that is a revision of what's in our packet, correct?
That's right. Yeah, so I made
had a chance to read it yet.
Is it, so she has it marked up. So let me go through it. These are some of the recommended changes that I came up with. Let's see here.
One space.
Yeah, I got it right here. Okay, so board committee principles. This is 14. Okay, so board committee principles. So there were no changes to that language. The only change is to number two. Committees may provide the board with alternatives, analysis, recommendations, and implications to support board-informed decision-making. A committee recommendation has no authority or effect unless and until the full board adopts it. Mm-hmm. Number eight, I made a change there. No committee has authority to commit the funds or resources of the college unless the full board specifically grants such authority in written terms of reference or other board action.
And that is a substitute for number eight, so we're crossing it out.
So I'm adding, it looks like I'm adding 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The committee has authority to commit the funds and resources of the organization.
All right, so number nine, committee shall not adopt, amend, suspend, or repeal board policy. Any proposed changes to the board policy shall be submitted to the full board for consideration and action. Number 10, committee shall operate within a written charge established by the board. For committees with an ongoing or extended mandate, the board shall establish written terms and references specifying, as appropriate, the committee's purpose, authority, membership, leadership, extended deliverables, timeline, and authorized use of board or college resources. Number 11, the board may assign a time limit task to a group without establishing separate terms of reference when the general requirements of this policy sufficient define the group's purpose and authority. Number 12, committees shall report their findings, recommendations, and or other assigned deliverables to the full board as specified in their charge or term of reference. And the last one that I recommend is committee authority shall be limited to the specific purpose and duration established by the board. Unless otherwise specified by the board, a committee shall cease to exist upon completion of its assigned charge. Does anyone else have any changes that they would like to add to be considered?
I have one question for discussion. Okay. So number three, four, five, and six all stay the same.
Yes.
And I think that some of it may become redundant with what has been added. So I kind of want to spend some time looking at that.
Which one's now three, four, five, and six?
Yeah, some of them seem to say something that's repetitive to what has been added. But I want to, the committees may not speak or act for the board. I mean, that's kind of blended into some of these other words. Commission will adopt, amend, suspend, or repeal board policy. Any proposed change has to come to the board. So it seems like there's too many points now. But the one I wanted to raise before I got these new ones was committees will be used sparingly. Sometimes, I mean, we decided at the retreat to talk about two new committees, one to do the planning for ownership linkage and the other one to do policy review. And I can see that the ownership linkage would come and go. It might be a look at the next 2 years and then be gone. And but the policy committee may be more than just ad hoc. It may be more ongoing in nature because we do policy every month. But so I don't know why we say committees will be used sparingly, because some boards function all the time with committees and it helps them to get work done. So there's a reason somebody wrote that, but I don't know what it is.
I think the reason that someone wrote that is because there's a lot, or there's some controversy about using policy governance, whether or not committees, when they should be used and how often they should be used. And so I think that language probably tries to address that.
Can you hear me? Okay. I have my trusty Bible, not the Bible, with me. And to answer your question, this is John Carver's third edition of Boards That Make a Difference. And I had, after reading that, had remembered that when I had read this a few years ago, that he had talked about committees and how they should be avoided. So, in response to what Jan was asking, I'd like to just read this short section. Traditionally, we speak of boards and committees in the same breath. Boards are supposed to have committees, aren't they? Some boards have told me that they determined their size on the basis of how many members were needed for committee. And these were governing boards with nothing to do but govern. They did not need or use committees to make up for lack of staff. Committees can serve a useful function, but the propitious path is to start with no committees and add them only when they are clearly needed. And so I think we need to be cautious of that. This is policy governance. There's a whole section on committees in here that I won't bore you with, but if you look back as to policy governance and how committees are used, he called himself a minimalist when it comes to using committees. So just wanted to make everybody aware that this is following policy governance.
And I would agree that the word sparingly seems to put a govern in terms of process on establishing committees. But I would think it seems to me that it's appropriate to identify them, especially the policy committee, as an ad hoc committee, because we would have that committee when there's a concern about policy and how a policy applies to present day, how it might change because of something that dramatically or fundamentally changes with our process.
And also that brought some thinking to the two that were recommended, the ownership linkage and the policy review committee. To me, policy review should be, does something need to be reviewed, not to take all of the policies and review all of them. Our policies are pretty new to us. We're still learning about them. So to sit down and do a complete review, I think is probably a good waste of time. The Ownership Linkage Committee, again, it should be ad hoc. I don't understand why we're even considering a committee for that, except to choose exactly who we will reach out to. But as far as the success of the ownership linkage work that we've done so far, I can't imagine it getting any better than the process we've been using. So do we really need these as committees? Probably for a short time, but I don't think it's necessary to go on forever as a committee. And that's just experience with being on board for so long. We've gotten along quite well without forming committees. My opinion, I think find Carver's opinion. So it's up to the board, I'm sure, to decide what we want to do.
Yeah, so what I found is under policy governance, committees are not prohibited, but they are deliberately limited, as you say. And so now, as far as the policy committee subcommittee is concerned, Rose has not, she's, we're going to hold I guess we're going to talk about that. She's going to develop a policy. The charge of the policy subcommittee. So let's wait until after that is done, so and then we can discuss it further. But she did at the retreat talked about she gave us a draft of GP 14.1, which sets out ownership linkage, which we're going to talk about next.
That's a good point because their policy governance committees are different from committees that maybe we're all used to serving on. And all of those need to be learned by us. And I would suggest we do that in a retreat, where we go over what we need to be aware of when working as a committee. It's slightly different from what we're used to.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I appreciate that information. I mean, we did decide at the retreat to pursue two committees. I do think that the ownership linkage is really about planning and putting a recommendation in front of us as this is what. So you have something to start with, okay? And then you can kind of work. I'm going to add this or not add that. And that, so I really thought it was just to create the working document for the board as a whole. That's my perception of that. The policy could be different. I mean, we are deciding we're going to not do every policy every year. So when you put that together, it could be to draft or to look at reviewing one policy or two policies. It's not every policy because we've decided we're not going to do every policy every year because we really don't need to anymore. Okay. And so we spend a lot of time on policy, but I do think it can help us to be more efficient to have some committees. But I just thought coming out of the gate and saying they'll be used sparingly kind of goes against our discussion of let's have some committees. Okay.
Right, and as I said, I think it has to do with what Carver has written.
And so when we create a committee every year to make a recommendation on the president and the vice president. So is that a committee or what is that? You know,
It was a nominating committee.
A nominating
Nominating
committee.
committee.
Chair and vice chair.
But is that going to fall under this policy as well?
What's in the bylaws right now?
Okay, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Not great.
All right. Generally, I think the added statements are good, are better than what we had initially coming into the meeting. So, but I would like to look at them for redundancy. I just haven't had time to do
No
that.
problem. We can it'll come back in September.
Chair Reed, am I? They all sound very familiar. So, are they? They are in her report, correct? Many of these recommendations are in her report. Am I correct on that?
Yes. As I recall, let me see. Here we go. We're talking about GP14.
Yes.
Yeah. No. So the only change that I recommended was to number two, and then the others I added. Because I thought we needed to provide guardrails about what about the general GP14 policy, and that's what numbers 8 through was it 13? Yes, 8 through 13. That's what they're intended to do.
Thank you.
There's still more that we could add to this.
Oh yeah. You know, like I said, if you agree with what I put down, and then in September there's really no discussion, then we can go ahead and adopt it. But if there's additions, subtractions, concerns, then we talk about those, add them, and then it'll come back in October. Any further discussion? Where am I? Okay. The next policy item is 7.B.3. Okay. And that is a GP 14-1. And I made changes to that as well. So my proposed changes to 14.1. So the opening sentence here, the Ownership Linkage Committee will assist the board in fulfilling its responsibilities regarding connection with owners. And then I added, the committee plans and facilitates the board's ownership linkage activities, but does not substitute for the board in conducting linkage with the ownership. There's also, too, I thought that I had here, trustees are expected to participate in board-approved ownership linking activities as appropriate. And it was recommended that that should go in the code of conduct.
It's on the next page.
Yeah. It should go in the code of conduct and not necessarily be put into GP 14.1. Under committee products, the only change is that 1.1.2 annually for the July board retreat, an assessment of the implementation and effectiveness of ownership linkage plan for consideration by the board. And then there's an addition. I have here 1.2. The committee shall present the proposed ownership linkage plan and any substantive revisions to the full board for consideration and approval. Okay, next, I have here the committee authority. 2.1, I made a change. The committee facilitates linkage without substitution for the board. 2.2, the committee cannot change or contravene board policies or instruct the president or any other staff member. I add here requests for information or administrative support necessary to conduct the committee's duties shall be coordinated with the president consistent with section 2.4. All right, so the committee composition and tenure, I added a three, so I made a change to 3.2. The committee shall select a chair from among the trustee members. I like that because I like to, if someone needs to be in charge, and so so I think that a committee chair needs to be elected.
Even if it's two people.
Even if it's two people, somebody that I can call on and say, you know, where are we?
Okay. So can I make an observation here on this? So we just had a discussion about how this should be an ad hoc committee, but then we look at the with a short life, and now we look at this committee is going to provide annual reports in September and in July, which certainly makes it sound like it's a ongoing for a committee because it has a product to do annually. And in the first year, since we're just creating this committee, they can't provide an ownership linkage plan by September because we probably won't adopt this. The earliest we adopt this is September, but we don't have an ownership linkage plan for the upcoming calendar year. So maybe we'll adopt it in December. I'm making that up, but it's going to be different than that. So maybe it should say, except for in the first year, but is this going to be ongoing or not ongoing? I mean, I think that's the broader policy question.
You're talking about the ownership linkage subcommittee.
Yeah.
It depends. In my opinion, it depends upon, you know, how, you know, I mean, how we move forward with this. You know, I mean, yes, we'll need to at each year or every as needed, there'll be a different group of ownership linkage people, stakeholders, I guess, that we will reach out to. So there will, so questions will be different. The people will be different.
But what if
yes.
The committee decides that they're not going to do that this next year? We're going to do survey instead. Okay. So there are other options that can be done.
That's right.
But to me, it's the board's decision on whether it's an ad hoc committee or whether it is a, what's the opposite?
Standing committee.
Standing, that's it.
Yeah.
The outstanding. So again, it's the board's decision.
Yeah. And I think the more important thing too is that any product that you guys come up with has to come back to the board for full approval.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we just had a discussion about how it should not be ongoing or standing. And we're creating one that's standing, if you ask me, based on how it's read. But I do think we do have to at least change that, except in the first year annually by September, or note somewhere that's not going to happen in year one.
Well, it'll come back. In September's meeting, so you can make your recommendation and then we can, we'll discuss it and then maybe it'll come back for a vote in October. As you said, this won't be in for September. But we already have a ownership linkage plan in effect anyway, because as you said, it's been working fine. But this is being put into policy.
We don't have any ownership linkage meetings planned for the upcoming calendar year,
the one that we used previously, the one, you know, for the Board of Education, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, those sorts of things. So that proceeded without this policy in place.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't we just say annually for 1.1.1? Just leave it at annually, because 1.1.3, that's when we present the information that we have received to the board in general. And I think that's in July, so that leaves August. And by September, we need to have a totally or all the adjustments. It may be too short a period of time. Think about all our policies. There's one meeting where we discuss it. There's another meeting that we say, do we have any changes? And it's the next meeting where we actually vote. So if we present in July, that means in August we have a discussion. I don't know that we can have something by September. So I would just leave it as annually, we will have an updated ownership linkage plan.
I think that's wise. And I also thought we talked about at our board retreat about doing a 2-year plan, because all we're doing is saying these are the groups we're going to meet with and bringing that recommendation back, and the board can say, let's substitute this one or whatever they decide. So I thought we were going to do a 2-year plan or try to.
It's the committee's work to bring to the board.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
right. But I
and
think
my
that's what we
thought
talked about.
on the committees in general, I think we need to be cautious not to make it so restrictive. Allow there to be language to give the committees flexibility, and so it has the opportunity to be as flexible as possible in coming up with the information that the board needs and packaging that information however the board needs it. I don't know that we have to prescribe a chair. Committees can decide who will be the spokesperson for the committee. I can't imagine we would have a committee of three and three have three different opinions. That wouldn't work. Just be cautious about making it so restrictive.
Well, what I recommended can be edited for sure and make it less prescriptive. Because as it stands now, it's going to have to come back for discussion.
Well, I would propose that we adopt Carmen's recommendation now, so when it comes back to us, we can adopt it, because I support removing the by September words and leaving it more open-ended. And the other question I have for you is, who appoints this committee? I assume all committees are appointed by the chair.
That's right.
Okay. I don't think it says that anywhere.
I think it did. I remember
You
seeing
think
it.
14.1 says that?
Yeah, I can't remember. It's in there though. I remember seeing it.
Okay. All right. Thank
It's
you.
in GP1. Yeah, it's in GP1.
Okay.
And we're going to be discussing GP1 at updating it at a future time. Which hasn't been decided yet. The date has not been decided yet.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, good. So next we'll move on to the board performance monitoring. The first item is 7.C.1, the survey results related to GP9, investment in governance. You'll find the results on closure 16. The survey results are generally positive, particularly regarding trustee orientation, education, ownership linkage, and access to outside expertise. One area that warrants discussion is the board's governance budget. Prior to the implementation of the policy governance, the board was not routinely present with a distinct budget for its consideration. As the board's governance policies have developed, GP9 now makes the board responsible in its area explicit. Specifically, Section 3.1 provides that the board will establish its annual governance budget. Trustees were provided board-related budget information at both the July 2025 and July 2026 retreats. However, our monitoring identified that the board had not yet been actively engaged in establishing its governance budget in a manner described by GP9. We addressed that at the July retreat and established a process to ensure that this responsibility is incorporated into the board's annual work going forward. Beginning with fiscal year 2028, a proposed board governance budget will be presented in October for the trustees' input, reviewed again in November, and then incorporated into the college operating budget process. Are there any observations regarding the survey results or the process going forward? Thank you.
Yeah, can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we approved the board annual budget at the retreat. Are we going to discuss that budget in October?
I don't think so. I think it's in
2028. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just I agree with your summary. And that seems to be the only point in these surveys that where there were some differing opinions. So I appreciate that. Thank
prior
you.
To survey.
Okay. Next item is 7.C.2, the survey results for board CEO delegation 0, global board delegation statement. You'll find those results in 17, in enclosure 17. The results generally reflect a clear understanding that the board governs through the president and evaluates results rather than directing operational means. One comment did note that note the need for greater clarity around requests for information or clarification may move too far into operations. That concern was also discussed at the July board retreat. Proposed policy refinements intended to provide greater clarity around these boundaries will be presented for the board's consideration in this fall. Are there any observations regarding the survey results? Thank you. The results will be entered into the record. Now we're moving to action items. First item is 8.A, approval of the monitoring and policy review schedule. Please refer to enclosure 18. Excuse me. This schedule reflects our July retreat discussions about moving to a multi-year cycle for board policy review, as well as for revisions to the annual monitoring schedule to present the ENDS monitoring in three separate sections over the course of the cycle. The goal is to ensure regular intentional review while reducing the amount of reoccurring policy work on monthly agendas. Are there any questions or discussions? Do I have a motion to approve the monitoring and policy review schedule?
So moved.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The monitoring and policy review schedule is approved. Next. Next, we'll move to the monitoring CEO performance. Monitoring is an important part of the board's governance role. It allows us to assess whether the results we have established are being achieved and whether the college is operating within the boundaries set by board policy. We received regular reports on our ENDS and executive limitation policy. As we review the reports, our primary focus is whether the president's interpretation is reasonable and whether the evidence demonstrates compliance. Monitoring may also surface questions about the policy itself. If the monitoring information presented suggests that a policy is no longer fully reflects the board's intended direction, the board can identify that matter for consideration through further policy review. So with that, we'll move to item 8.B.1, acceptance of the monitoring report for EL0, executive limitation constraints. You'll find that in enclosure 19. President Chi.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Tonight I'm presenting the annual monitoring report for EL0, general executive constraint. During the reporting period, College Council affirmed that there were no known or intentional violations of applicable federal, state, or local law by the board, CEO, or college employees. The college also remained aligned with applicable collective bargaining agreements. In addition, the audited financial reports and single audit presented to the board contain no material findings. Based on the independent legal and audit review reflected in the report, I certify full compliance with EL0.
Any further discussion? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The monitoring report EL0, executive limitation, excuse me, general executive constraint is accepted. Next, we'll now consider item 8.B.2, acceptance of the monitoring report for EL3, communication and support to the board. Please refer to enclosure 20, President Chi.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I'm presenting the annual monitoring report for EL3, communication and support to the board. During the reporting period, the board's governance budget included dedicated resources for its work, and expenditures did not exceed the annual governance budget. A review of board packets also confirmed that all action items included an executive summary or cover memo, and that all scheduled monitoring reports were submitted as planned. The board received timely updates as needed regarding legal, political, reputational, fiscal, executive personnel, media, and other urgent matters. Quarterly financial statements and the annual audit were also presented to the board on schedule. The report further confirms consistent support for meeting preparation, minutes, policy storage, and professional development. Clearly organized meeting materials, regular opportunities to assess meeting content, and no reported concerns regarding favoritism among board members. Based on this evidence, I certify full compliance with EL3.
Do I have a motion to accept the monitoring report, EL3?
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The monitoring report for EL3, communications and support to the board, is accepted. Next, we'll move to item 8.B.3, acceptance of monitoring report for EL5, organizational culture. Please refer to enclosure 21. President Chi.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I'm presenting the annual monitoring report for EL5, organization culture. During the reporting period, FCC maintained an accessible employee misconduct policy that currently serves as the college's employee code of conduct, while a new code of conduct policy is in development. Employees also annually acknowledge their responsibility to follow the college's conduct and ethics policies through their employment contracts. The college maintained clear processes for confidential reporting, an independent anonymous reporting system, and protections against retaliation for good faith reporting. No reports were filed through the anonymous reporting system during the monitoring period. For research activities, FCC maintained published institutional review board guidance and independent ethical review for research involving human subjects. Animal specimens used for instructional purposes were verified as ethically sourced through regulated suppliers and properly disposed of through the college's contracted biomedical waste provider. Based on the evidence provided by talent and culture, institutional effectiveness, and teaching, learning, and student success, I certify full compliance with EL5.
Thank you. Is there a motion that the board has assessed the monitoring report of EL5, organization and culture, and finds it demonstrates compliance with a reasonable interpretation of the policy? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The monitoring report for EL5 organizational culture is accepted. Our final monitoring report is 8.B.4, acceptance of the monitoring report for EL11, compensation and benefits. Please refer to enclosure 22. Dr. Cheek.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I'm presenting the annual monitoring report for EL11, compensation and benefits. During the reporting period, the college formally developed a total compensation philosophy to guide equitable compensation and benefits practices. Employee salaries and offers were reviewed against the college's salary scales, market benchmarking, and applicable collective bargaining requirements. The report also confirms that my compensation and ordinary and necessary expenses match the amounts and terms established by the board in my employment contract. The college continued annual market review using data from the Maryland Association of Community Colleges, CUPA HR, the Chronicle of Higher Education, and an independent market analysis completed by Siegel. Employees covered by the collective bargaining agreement were paid consistently with that agreement, and compensation and benefit obligations remain within the forecasted budget. Employment agreements were issued for no more than 2 years, and offers of employment were extended only through Talent and Culture or its authorized designees. Based on the evidence provided by Talent and Culture and Finance and Administration, I certify full compliance with EL11.
Thank you. Is there a motion that the board has assessed the monitoring report to EL11, compensation and benefits, and finds it demonstrates compliance with reasonable interpretation of the policy? Do I have a motion?
I move. Accept.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The monitoring report for EL11, compensation and benefits, is accepted. Next is item 9, the content review. Meeting content review. Please refer to enclosure 23. Of the meeting packet. This item provides an opportunity for the board to briefly reflect on the effectiveness of today's meeting. I invite you to consider a few guiding questions, which are up on the screen, which will be displayed on the screen as you reflect on tonight's meeting. Where were we the strongest in having governance-level decisions? And was there strong participation and engagement in the meeting? Please take a moment to reflect. Are there any observations or comments the board would like to share?
I'll say something. I thought we had good conversation about the ends and some of the information from our retreat and the adoption of some new policies, particularly on committees. I also just want to comment that the monitoring reports are summarized in these meetings, but they're much longer and we read them. And so there's a lot more that we kind of do it without comment for the most part. But I do want people to know that if they ever want to read the whole thing, they are out there. And I just want to make that comment that there's a lot of work that goes into those.
Anyone else?
I think we had strong participation and engagement in this meeting, particularly in discussing GP14.
Yeah, I think GP14 is definitely necessary. We need to, you know, that policy outlines how we're going to move forward with these committees, which I think is very important. So, so now I will entertain a motion to move to closed session.
All right. Meeting date is August 19, 2026. I move that the board enter into closed session in accordance with Maryland's Open Meetings Act, Section 3-305B1, to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of an appointee, employee, or official over whom this public body has jurisdiction, or two, any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. Section 3-305B7, to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice. Section 3-305B9, to conduct collective bargaining negotiations or consider matters that relate to the negotiations. And Section 3-305B13, to comply with a specific constitutional, statutory, or judicially imposed requirement that prevents public disclosures about a particular proceeding or matter. The topics are to discuss the contract of the president, to obtain legal advice related to collective bargaining strategy and potential positions, and review and approval of closed session minutes from June 10, 2026, pursuant to Section 3-306C32 of the General Provisions Article of the Maryland Annotated Code.
So we're going to move into closed session. Do I have all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. We'll take a brief break for everyone to clear the room. Thank you.